So, Soul Simmers.
Welcome to Speaking Simlish, where we talk about everything The Sims.
From the latest news to our favorite packs, we deep dive into every way this game has shaped our lives.
That tagline has never been more appropriate than for our last two, well, our last episode and this episode. So we are recording this directly after ending our recording of the history of The Sims and The Sims 2. And we are going to talk about The Sims 3 and the current iteration of The Sims game, The Sims 4, in this episode.
With a little sprinkling of the spin-offs on top.
Ooh, love it.
Yeah, and it has been about 15 minutes since our last episode. So we do not have any... What were you doing in your game? Speak. We're just going to jump right into this.
Before we start and kick off with the jump from The Sims 2 to The Sims 3, shall we recap the sources that were used in the research of these episodes?
Yeah, so let's just really quick, the sources used for the research of this episode. I started with Wikipedia, of course, as kind of an overall overarching knowledge base. I also got an article from Berkeley Side by Tracy Taylor, an article on Polygon by Adam Barnes, an article from the University of Hawaii Press, volume 38 by Julie Rack, an article from IGN by Jim Riley, and an Electronic Arts press release.
Perfect. And let's just say as well, like the research we've done is also our own brains and then beautiful people who have sent us things knowing that we were going to make these podcasts as well, these podcast episodes. Yeah. So thank you to everyone who suggested us to do this topic and also anyone that sent any sources our way to help, you know, us structure the history of.
Yeah, this is a collaborative effort, not just between Amy and myself, but between our community. As The Sims is, a collaborative effort.
Yep.
Between the community and the developers. So let's pick back up as we stopped in our last episode. Mm-hmm. It was June 2nd, 2009, 5 years after The Sims 2 came out. And we are now introduced to the third iteration of The Sims, The Sims 3. And now, as we touched on in our last episode, The Sims 3 didn't have as big of a life-changing, game-changing development cycle, but it was definitely much different.
Mm-hmm. What we got on paper with the shifts, you would write less down, but what we actually got, and the biggest selling point, and this was part of all of the marketing campaign, every trailer leading up to it, right? The mm-hmm. big whammy that we got in The Sims 3, the jump from The Sims 2, was an open world.
And not to downplay the open world is amazing.
Yes.
It is truly what makes The Sims 3 unique and iconic.
Mm-hmm. Exactly that.
So additionally, we had a revamping of Create a Sim. Your Sims are now no longer tied to aspirations. They have traits. So, like we mentioned in our first episode, our traits, each sim has unique traits. You give them 5 traits, and you can randomize these traits, or you can handpick them, hand select them. But that is part of what makes The Sims 3 really different, is yes. You're pulling at their personality to make them more unique. So in The Sims 2, sometimes you would have 2 romance sims and they would have pretty similar personalities, mm-hmm. you know, minus a few things.
Yeah.
They want the same things.
Exactly. And fear the same things as well, because that's what yes. would, the picking the aspiration is what fed directly into wants and fears. So everything that your sim wanted or feared happened to them was based on the aspiration that you had chosen for them. There is elements of that in 3. The aspiration is still very important, but the yeah. trait, again, what you had said so much, especially at the end of our last recorded podcast was the element of choice. And that is what traits are giving you. And just to recap how important traits were as an addition to three, there were 63 traits in the base game. 63. And then when you add in all of the DLC, which we will cover because there is so much, and we talked about stuff packs as a new addition for two. Well, hold on to your boots because three is opening so many different ways to get DLC. But when you add in all of the expansions, all of that, they add up to a total of 99 traits on the upon the completion of The Sims 3.
We couldn't have just one more? For an even 100? EA. Babe.
But thank you very much.
We need to have a heart to heart.
Right? And again, this is the kind of research
that
we're getting.
Sorry, I don't know why that struck me.
We get 99, that's it, no more. Don't ever ask for one more, Melissa, okay? But thank you so much, again, to all of the places that we've researched. That's where we're getting these hard figures from. You know, we definitely don't have this off the top of our brain, so thank you very much to the Sims Wiki.
Sims Wiki, saving the day. And circling back to wants and fears, your Sims no longer have fears.
Mm-hmm.
As like a hard thing that you can fulfill. They still have wants, but they're not as concrete. Mm-hmm. You can choose to fulfill a want and you kind of like pin it to a task bar. But they'll just kind of throughout their day come up with new wants. Mm-hmm. Whereas in The Sims 2, it was kind of like four or six things, depending on if you had university and you got a, yep. got a degree. You'd have four things that you were like, this is what I want to do today. And when they would wake up or maybe come back from work, they'd have new things that they would roll.
Yes.
Versus in The Sims 3, it's much more environmentally influenced. So, you know, maybe I went to the library and I have the want to read a book.
Yep.
Or I'm a Sim who hates the outdoors and I'm at the park. I'm going to roll a want to go inside.
Mm-hmm.
And you can choose to, you know, I think you left click and you'd say, no, I don't want to do that. Or, you know, yep. right click and you would just add it to that taskbar and say, okay, I'll take you inside. But with the removal of fears, you now have these things called moodlets. And this is where the emotions and personality kind of come into play more. So mm-hmm. even though you don't have explicit fears, your Sims still have negative emotions towards bad things that are happening in their life, but now it holds more of a little more of a consequence. You're going to feel like shit for a few hours. If there's a fire in your house, you're going to hold on to that fire kind of bad feeling for like a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to talk about it with your family. You're going to talk about it with your friends. You'll be like, there was a fire in my kitchen and it was awful. And I feel sad about it still.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, and again, directly tied to that Maslow's hierarchy of needs, of course, everything that you would expect, like if you're dirty, if you need a wee, if you're hungry, all of those things play into the moodlets as well.
Yep. Or, and it's not just negative moodlets, you have positive moodlets as well. Mm-hmm. So maybe you're, again, you love the outdoors, you're outside, you have a little bit of a buff that says, I'm outside, I have a plus 10 mood.
Yep.
And you'll kind of hold on to that buff as long as you're outside.
Yes. Getting married, having a baby, your first kiss, all of these things give you a little moodlet.
Yeah. And you'll kind of, again, hold on to that feeling for however long.
Mm-hmm.
It's either predetermined or you're in that situation.
Yes. And contrary to four, and we'll talk a lot about this when we get to four, but it really is kind of cut and dry. I feel good or I don't feel good. There mm-hmm. isn't much nuance to that feeling. It's good or it's bad.
Yeah, exactly. It's blue if it's good, it's red if it's bad. And then another addition we have with The Sims 3 is something called opportunities. And these are little pop-ups that'll either happen, you know, again, if you're just like out in the world. So maybe you went to the park, you'll get a pop-up that's like, hey, there's a grill-a-thon. If you grill 5 dishes, we'll give you money or we'll give you a trait or a reward. Mm-hmm. sort of thing. Not a trait, like a moodlet. Or maybe you're at work and in order to get a promotion, you have to read this book. These are little tasks. Again, you don't have to do them, but they add a little bit of something into your Sims life of things you can do to succeed and fulfill those wants,
yes,
and needs and aspirations.
And that's a base game thing. And they kind of expand on it as expansion packs come in and out, because opportunities are really key to the careers in Ambitions and things like that. When you're,
yes,
a private detective and all of that, everything, and World Adventures, all of those rely really heavy on the opportunities mechanics.
I'm just realizing that that is what made my favorite packs my favorite packs. I love those opportunities.
Yeah.
I love being told what to do in the game. What the hell? A game of choice, telling me what to do.
And it's not even being told. It's like, do you want to go and do this? Yes, yes or no? Again, it's always choice. You're not forced to do anything. If you want to read that book, you can. If you want to go and explore that tomb to find the hammer that you can then take to a different world and defeat that, like, big bad, you can do that. You know? Well, we've touched on it a little bit here with our talking about World Adventures and talking about Ambitions and stuff. Packs, huge. So this is the most that we've had up to this point.
Yes. And not only that, but these packs are really big. I think these are the most game-changing packs.
Yeah.
Or at least they're the biggest packs we've had.
Oh, I agree with your first comment. I don't think you need to.
Oh, really?
I don't think you need to caveat that at all. I do believe that these, they integrate themselves into the base game so well that they, and this is something you touched on in our first episode where I was talking about my favorite packs. I honorable mentioned Generations, and you didn't, because you said you can't imagine 3 without it.
That is true.
Because it is the base game for you.
Yes.
That's when you know that a pack has done its job.
Yeah, and The Sims 3 have some of the best packs, mm-hmm, in the Sims franchise.
Yeah.
So let's talk about them. There are 11 expansion packs and 9 stuff packs. The expansion packs are World Adventures, Ambitions, Late Night, Generations, Pets, Showtime, Supernatural, Seasons, University Life, Island Paradise, and Into the Future.
And Into the Future was the last pack for The Sims 3 overall. Much better than Mansion and Garden. Let's go with that. End with a bang.
But it's not the last piece of content for The Sims 3.
No. No. Because of the... Yeah, we'll get into it.
We'll get there.
We had 9 stuff packs. And they are High End Loft, Fast Lane, Outdoor Living, Town Life, Master Suite, Katy Perry Sweet Treats, Don't At Me, Diesel, 90s, 70s, I'm going backwards, 70s, 80s, and 90s stuff, and Movie.
Yeah.
This is regular for us. Expansions are established. We know what they are. So they're adding gameplay. They're adding items. They're adding things to do in CAS. All of those things they're adding, right? In previous expansions, we've had added whole life stages. Here we're adding whole worlds, we're adding whole occults. There's so much that is being added in these expansion packs. The stuff packs are, I feel like they're pretty akin to a Sims 2 stuff pack. I feel like they knew what a stuff pack was in 2 and they kind of went with that. So there's nothing in here that is gonna change your gameplay in a drastic way at all. It is adding the stuff to help you customize and add more choice to your game. So what I mean by that, and just for an example, if you think about Town Life, so in The Sims 3, when we say that it's an open world, that means that you could press M on your keyboard and it is going to zoom all the way out for you and show you the entire map view while you are still actively in your home lot. Your Sims are still doing stuff. You can still see them. It's not anything like, if you want to think about the most current iteration, when you go to map view, everything stops. The world continues, right? And we have to help facilitate this and to help make sure the game doesn't break, it had added rabbit holes. And what we mean by that are these are little structures that your sim will go into. They'll disappear in there. A little pop-up will come up. Something will come up. A mood will probably, little buff will come up on your sim, and they will exit that building. Town Life added more of those little rabbit holes, things like that. So no, this is not, this adding new stuff, but rabbit holes already existed. So that's what I mean with these stuff packs kind of fitting in quite well with what an established stuff pack was from The Sims 2.
Yeah, so, you know, you'll take Town Life stuff and maybe you want to revamp some of the buildings you already have in Sunset Valley, the base game world. That's what this is for. Whereas with the expansion packs, you will get brand new rabbit holes or brand new venues for your Sims to explore. And rabbit holes are nothing new with The Sims 3. We've always had rabbit holes. We just now have a location for them.
Yep.
So in Sims 1 and in Sims 2, when your Sim went off to work or to school, they were going onto a rabbit hole. They were leaving their lot and disappearing for however many hours it took them to fulfill that duty.
Yes.
Same thing in The Sims 3. You just get to go with them. And then you are outside of that rabbit hole while they're in there doing their thing.
Mm-hmm. And the world for me was quite a good healthy balance of open lots and rabbit holes. So some of the most notable rabbit holes would be any of the careers, the bookstore, the grocery store, the spa, the cinema and theater was a rabbit hole. But then some of the open places, as Melissa had touched on earlier with moodlets, the park, completely open, the library, completely open, the gym, local swimming pool, all of these things were functional lots that once you zoomed in on them, they would render and you could use them just like you would your home lot.
Exactly. Kind of like how when you would go to a lot in The Sims 1 or The Sims 2, only this time you don't have a loading screen to wait to get there. You only have however long it takes your Sim to walk/run or drive there. So really, like, the gameplay has a lot less pausing.
Yes.
The only pausing you're really seeing is if you, the player, pause it, or if your Sim is asleep or at work. And even then, you can go and fuck off and do something else. When my Sim would be at work, I would love to go and just, like, go to another house and see what those Sims were doing, or go to the park and see what's going on there. And what's interesting about The Sims 3 is, even if you're not playing a lot, there is a lot being a location in the game.
Yes.
There's stuff going on. There's always something happening in the world.
Yes.
So Sims are living their lives, even though you're not having anything to do with them. And that's where something unique for the first time in The Sims comes in, which is story progression.
Yep.
So the whole town moves at the same time as your Sim. Your Sim, as they age, the rest of the town is aging with them. So you'll have deaths and births throughout the town, regardless of having any interaction with that family.
Yes.
So what's interesting about The Sims 3, and these towns aren't static. You can create a new Sunset Valley at any time with those base characters. So say you start Sunset Valley, and in this iteration of The Sims, we are jumping back in time 25 years from the first Sims, not Sims 2, but the first OG Sims. So our quintessential characters, you know, Bella and Mortimer, they're children. Mm-hmm. So if you want to start up a save and have them get married, you can do so. You'll play as either Bella or Mortimer or whatever. They'll age up at the same time. You can have them fall in love in high school or whatever. But the whole town is aging with you. So maybe you want to play a different way and you'll jump back into the Sim, into Sunset Valley in a new save, and you can either do it all over or do it completely different. Mm-hmm. That's different from in The Sims 2, where those towns are static. You can't create a new Veronaville or Pleasant View or Strange Town. You're kind of given what you're given. And if you make choices in the game, you save, you can't really go back and undo those choices. So in The Sims 3, you're given, again, much more freedom of choice to play with life.
Mm-hmm. Much more and freedom now, of choice for me to marry Mortimer Goth instead of Bella. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah, and that frees up Bella for me. I love her. We're going to be girl boss, gatekeeping, gaslighting, BFF.
Oh, I love that for you.
Thank you. We're both criminals now.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved the criminal career in The Sims 3.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was good.
It was real fun.
Yeah.
I just remember playing that a lot and always making my Sim a kleptomaniac and just stealing people's cars.
What a great trait. Much better in 3 than 4.
I haven't played with it much in 4.
It's because it's boring.
I also found it really funny when my Sim would just get arrested and go to jail for a few days.
Yes.
I'm just stuck in the jail rabbit hole, making my Sim like work out or like converse with the other inmate.
Yes. So that's actually a really good point about the rabbit holes, though, that when you would go in there, you kind of had choices as well. So there were little drop down menus that would come onto your Sim, like if you were actively clicking on that Sim and they were at work, for example, they could work hard, they could talk to their friends, they could suck up to the boss, they could, you know, be on their build their fun.
They could work on skills.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is really important if you're trying to get a promotion. So not only are you just working on skills at home like you would in 2 or in 1, you mm-hmm. can still work, you can work on them while you're at work and try to progress there as well.
Yes.
Which we've never had that option to kind of pick and choose what our Sims are doing while they're at work.
Right. And there are consequences.
Yes.
If I'm going to slack off with my friends, then my performance meter is going to go down.
And you could get demoted or even fired.
Yes. And one thing I loved about 3 for the careers as well that gave you more choice was that getting a promotion, you had to maybe have a good relationship with your boss, with your colleagues, whatever. But your skill level was from here to here. Not you need exactly level 7, otherwise I'm not going to promote you in the mixology career. It was you need to have, you know, from 4 to 6, and within that range you have the chance of being promoted. Obviously if you had a higher skill, the chances increased, but it just again gave you more of a room to tell a story.
Yeah, so maybe you're not the best at your job, but you're still kind of working through the ranks. You're just doing so slower mm-hmm. than maybe somebody who lives, eats, and breathes police work or whatever.
Right, with the workaholic trait.
Another trait I would endlessly give my Sims.
Yes, same. I love that trait. Yeah, really great. So I think the one other area that we haven't really talked about in terms of extra content for The Sims 3 is a highly controversial one.
And it is new to the series in The Sims 3. That is The Sims 3 Store. So this is an online store that was on The Sims website mm-hmm. where you would use Sim points, which would equate to real life dollars, to buy extra content for The Sims. And this is stuff anywhere from like clothes and hairs to whole entire new towns.
Yes, and towns have long been associated with expansions. So let me just read out all of the worlds that you could download from The Sims 3 store. You had Roaring Heights, Midnight Hollow, Dragon Valley, Aurora Skies, Monte Vista, Sunlit Tides, Lucky Palms, my personal favorite, Luna Lakes, Hidden Springs, and Barnacle Bay. Additionally, for free on The Sims 3 store, because The Sims 3, when it shipped out, only came with your one standard Sunset Valley base game world, for free they added Riverview that you could download, so you had to still elect to go and get it, but is considered by many base game.
All of the expansion packs, except maybe Seasons, come with a brand new world, mm-hmm. a brand new neighborhood for you to inhabit. The Sims 3 store is controversial because it is expensive.
Yes.
These towns are the price of an expansion pack.
Mm-hmm. For less content.
For less content, absolutely. You get the town and then you get one or two special objects
mm-hmm.
That are unique to that town. So, for example, Monte Vista came with a pizza oven.
Yep.
And that was the special content.
Yes. Lucky Palms, in the name Lucky, came with the ability to create casinos and casino style build and buy objects. Dragon mm-hmm. Valley came with, you guessed it, dragons, things like
There's also the archery set in Dragon Valley. I remember yes. that.
And I believe that that was like the gold edition of Dragon yes. Valley as well. So that was, again, another tier up, even more money.
Yeah, that's what brings you up to that expansion-esque price.
Yeah.
The world itself is $20, I want to say. And then when you bring it up to that gold level, it's anywhere from $35 to $40, which was how much the expansions were running at that time.
Yes. So that's a lot. And they had so much stuff in the Sims 3 store, churning out content pretty much constantly, it felt like.
If it was not monthly, it was weekly. Mm-hmm. There was something new in the store.
It's still live. You can go and
it is still live
right now.
Yeah, it's the same exact price as when it launched, too.
Who knows why?
I do.
Yes.
And, they're getting those sales.
They do have the ability to get deals. So there was every single day a daily deal. So you would get something for, you know, a little bit of sim points off. The choice of sim points to, you know, from actual real money feels a little bit loot boxy to me.
Yes.
The idea that you aren't associating real dollar amounts to it, I think in their mind allowed people to be convinced they weren't spending the money that they actually were on these add-ons.
Yeah. And it's makes me think of when it's starting to be marketed more towards children.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Than that teen and up life stage. Mm-hmm. Bring it back to the Sims. So it's still rated T for teen. But when you have content like this, especially like the in-game store, that's where it starts to feel like it's being marketed more towards children, because children are the ones who are really, really going for that in-game click.
Yes.
Where it's like, I want to use that right now, so I'll just pay for it right now.
Yes. The idea of being a completionist again, which when paired with The Sims 3 can be particularly volatile, because if you had every single thing installed, your game was not going to run correctly. Like, I feel like that's just a fact. If someone can tell me that their Sims 3 game runs completely perfectly with everything installed, I tip my hat to you, and I don't believe you.
No, and the only way I can get the Sims 3 to run is with some real manpower behind it. I have to go in and tweak the specs. I have to go into the actual game's filing and codes mm-hmm. and pick at it to make it run. Not only that, but you do need outside mods.
Yep.
You need the NRAS, Overwatch, and their version of story progression to really get the game to run the way it's kind of optimized to run.
Yes.
I would really love if they made a complete collection of The Sims 3, maybe not with all the store items, but with like some really hard hitters, the best of the best, and optimized it even for higher end PCs.
Yeah.
Not to toot my own horn, but I have a custom build. It should be able to run The Sims 3. It doesn't run well. I can play it, but it's a frustrating experience.
Yes. And if you're playing in certain worlds where, so with the open world, what a great addition, as we had touched on. A lot of the problems with it lie with the open world, unfortunately. So if you think about Bridgeport, that's a world that came with Late Night. That is the city expansion pack. So we're thinking Hot Date Nightlife. This is that's successor.
Yeah.
I got there.
Yeah. Yeah, Melissa moment.
That's the theme successor is Late Night for The Sims 3. That world that it came with was amazing. Like, visually stunning. I loved it so much. It was the worst world for routing failure. Sims getting lost, clogging up your game with I don't even know how many taxis, because it spawned a new taxi every time a taxi launched in the world. And to make it feel more alive and something that I agree with, that was programmed in, the fact that taxis would run with nothing in them. Mm-hmm. But every time the game made a taxi run, it was a brand new taxi. It didn't like reuse ones that had already moved around the map. It was always a brand new thing. So that got clogged up in your game. Like it knew that all of them existed in the world. So imagine when you're on Gen 3.
Only three. But you're already running into some major, major lagging.
Yes.
Because of everything that's going on. Bridgeport is such a hot mess that I will not touch it.
It's just so gorgeous. It's my favorite. I think it's my favorite visual from a visual perspective world that they have ever made. I think that they absolutely killed it. They knocked it out of the park completely with what that world could offer in terms of what a city actually is. A little bit grimy, a little bit gross, but you still have these beautiful high-rise buildings and like the real juxtaposition of like the average person living in a city and the like lifestyles of the rich and the famous, right? Because that was part of late night, was the celebrity system, and you had this whole like almost like Beverly Hills-esque area with all of the very expensive mansions and the gates. I'm going off, but
you're good.
Great. But so many problems with it.
Yeah, and here's where The Sims 3 is also, again, The Sims 3 is my favorite iteration of The Sims, okay. Even though I can't play it.
Yeah.
Because it also gave us the ability to create worlds from a community perspective. So even though Bridgeport is great, there are cities that the community have made that are miles better and run better because the community knows now what it takes to get this game to run smoothly.
Yes.
And that is my favorite part about The Sims 3 is the community built worlds. They're fantastic. They are stunning. And that I think is the highlight of the game for me.
Yeah. And again, it's about that choice, right? And and the giving the, it took a while to get the world tour. That's not something that came out upon launch. It was something that people really asked for. And I think knowing how complicated it was to use and build a whole world, maybe they were hesitant to release it. But the thing about the Sims community is there are people who are so incredibly talented that it was never going to be a problem for them. Like, it is a problem for me. I can't work it. I don't know how.
Same.
But there are people out there that will invest the time and energy into perfecting it, and they did.
Oh, yeah. There are some worlds out there now. We'll probably do a whole episode on, like, our favorite Sims 3 custom worlds. But that are just so mind-blowingly beautiful and detailed. The first one that pops into my head is Burrowsburg, which is a recreation of New York City by Potato Ballad Sims on Tumblr. That world is so incredible and so incredibly detailed to the finest minutia that it really does feel like you're playing in New York City. It's insane.
Yep. And again, that's just one aspect of the customization. Of course, you're continuing through here the ability to download custom content. We touched a little bit on what feel like necessary mods. So this is, for me, the first time, Sims 3, that I ever felt like the mods weren't a choice that I was making, really, though. And I know that we're talking about choice, blah, 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 and I get that I was electing to put, like, a third-party thing in my game, but it just wouldn't run without NRES items, like Overwatch and things like that. There's no point in playing unless you're going to put those into your game to try and control what was happening in terms of lag.
And as we say, I think every episode, bless modders and custom content creators for making this game, not only optimizing the game, but making it incredible to this day.
Yeah.
Like, people are still putting out stuff for The Sims 3. So they're still putting out stuff for The Sims 2.
Yes.
I'm not as familiar with The Sims 1 just because I can't play it. I don't like... I don't like looking into it because it makes me sad because I want to play. But I'm sure there's still content coming out for The Sims 1.
Yes.
There are people who still love it dearly and want to make it better than it has ever been.
Yeah. My hesitancy to go to Sims 4 was in part fueled by the fact that NRS said that he was done mm-hmm. modding for the community. And I was like, do I want to play a game released by EA that doesn't have his mods in it? Like, it really pulled me up. That's how integral it was to my gameplay.
Yeah, I had that same hesitation. I felt like I needed him to kind of hold my hand with the game.
Yeah.
Especially with that story progression mod. Now, Sims 3 did have story progression in the base game, but
and it was a choice. Again,
it was a choice. You can turn it on and off.
Yep.
But NRAS really, really perfected it. And just, oh my God. And again, with the choice.
Yeah.
You can really pick and pull at this game mm-hmm. with the mods.
When I say I want story progression, I don't mean I want The Sims 3 EA-built story progression. That, if you ever hear me say I want it, that's not what I want. I want that mod version of story progression. That is what I want.
Yeah, yeah. And then just kind of to round out our Sims 3 talk, in an article written in 2009 called The Sims 3 Dominating PC Software Sales by Jim Riley. This was updated in 2012. The Sims 3 came second only after Microsoft Office 2007. And it came before the Kaspersky antivirus 2009. Can you imagine in PC software sales, a video game coming after Microsoft Office, but before an antiviral software?
Yeah.
Like, I'm speechless with those sales. That, and as funny as it is, Amy, we talk about The Sims, and it feels like I, in real life, have a hard time finding people who play The Sims.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at sales like that
mm-hmm.
and the online community,
yeah,
this game is so big.
The Sims 3 in general, and I don't want to get, not The Sims 3, in general, just The Sims, and I don't want to get mm-hmm. onto like my little soapbox here, but it, like a lot of the community are, they don't fit potentially into binaries, and they lean, if they are on a binary, more to like the feminine side of the spectrum and all of those kinds of things. And I do believe that that's used to minimize what this game does, because there is so much sexism within the gaming community in general. When you were talking about your custom build, I also have recently made the purchase of a custom build from that same website. You are able to filter by games to build your spec to optimally run that game. This is not one of the drop-down options, because people don't think of it that way.
Because it's a girl's game.
Yes.
It's a virtual dollhouse.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
It's so much more. But it's so much more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The Sims, when I talk about it, makes me want to punch, you know?
Yeah. I just get really, really overstimulated.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And it comes from that choice.
Yes.
There's so many choices that I just, like, kind of black out.
Yes. Yes.
And I wake up 6 hours later.
Oh, choice. Melissa, did we even talk about creator style?
I touched on it. Oh, my God, not creator style. I touched on creator sim.
Choice.
So, Amy and I were not builders in The Sims 3, which is why it took us this long to get to creator style, in which you can customize every single fucking piece of furniture, wall, floor, your fences, your Sims, to any color, any pattern that your heart desires.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't believe we forgot about creative style.
I mean, and it's in everything. Like, you love that dress, but you hate that swatch, go in and change it. If you want to get real weird with it, and you love that dress and you want it to be wooden, you can do that. Like, straight through from create a sim right through into build by in The Sims 3 to me is very overwhelming because there's so much choice. They didn't necessarily in their preset swatches spend the time to make sure things matched. So create a style in The Sims 3 to me is not a choice really in terms of using it, because you have to make sure things look cohesive. Otherwise you're going to end up with a real weird house.
Or you're me and you pre-save everything in a black swatch. Everything matches if it's black, Amy.
Well, that is one of the big criticisms of 4 as well, right? That we want things in these plain swatches because it's helpful. Like, especially in the 4 where we don't have the opportunity to make things match ourselves, it becomes very important. So, yeah, that's another great point, that if you found a... you messed around and create a sim and you're like, damn, that dress looks great in that color, or that sofa is to die for in that velvet material, save it.
You can save it. You can save it. And then in your next playthrough, you can just pick it up and you don't have to fiddle with create a style for hours.
Yes, because especially in my game, when you first would click on it, it would just take a little moment. It would be like, you sure? You sure you want to do this to me right now? You really want to change the swatch of that chair? Is that really your choice? And I'd be like, yeah, girl, it is. And it would just take a little minute to load.
So create a style doesn't do that to me with my big boy computer. But oh my God, I used to play The Sims 3 on a laptop that I also used for school.
Me too.
God forbid I opened create a style or accidentally clicked on it, because it would be a full 5 minutes for it to... load all of the stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like, and the fans would just kick on and I'd be like,
yes.
Oh no. I'm so sorry.
And that's part as well, I think, feeds into the whole idea that once you load in, there are no load screens. Everything is open. And so much so that as The Sims 3 progressed, the one loading screen as you loaded into your save, they ended up putting a mini game into it because it would take so long from main menu to get into your save.
I think I don't think this was the longest my game would take to load. But I do vividly remember it taking a good 30 minutes.
Oh, I would click load and then I'd go and do something else.
That's fair. That's fair. I think it still takes like 20-ish minutes on my computer as it is. But I have a hard time playing without all of the expansion packs.
Yes.
I will not turn them off.
Yeah.
Which you do have the option to do is to, which is unique to The Sims 3, and this came at the end of its life cycle, you can turn off an expansion or stuff pack for a play.
Not just that, it encourages you to.
It does encourage you to do that. I respectfully ignore those encouragements. Yeah. The Sims 2 and The Sims 1, once you had a pack installed, you had to physically uninstall it if you didn't want to play with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But also, it wasn't game-breaking to have all
of it. It wasn't game-breaking. No.
Yeah.
So at the end of her life cycle, The Sims 3 was a big, big, big boy.
Yeah.
Big boy game. There's a lot. The Sims 3, I think, has the most amount of choice in any of the games.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much you can do.
Mm-hmm.
It is overwhelming. It's literally overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah, and we will have so much to talk about as we dive into each of the individual packs for 3, so much to talk about. But that brings us up to another 5-year time jump.
Mm-hmm. So it is September 2nd, 2014, and we are introduced to the 4th and, as of right now, final iteration of The Sims franchise, The Sims 4.
We are indeed. So this is the game that we're all, you know, probably currently playing. We're waiting on new packs to come out right now. This will be, regardless of when The Sims 5, if or whenever it comes, this will be the longest generation of The Sims.
Yeah, it is currently 2021, and this game came out in 2014. All the previous iterations were alive for 4 to 5 years.
Yep.
And this one is taking its sweet time. I'm not complaining.
No, No, I get it. I mean, I'm kind of complaining, but with that, you know, we've also ended up with the most amount of packs that we've ever had for The Sims 4. So much about The Sims 4 is the most of everything, just because it's been around for so long.
Yeah, and with The Sims 4, we were introduced to two brand new types of packs. Mm-hmm. We have the game pack and the kit.
Yep. And obviously our old faithfuls, the expansion and the stuff pack are still around as well.
They're still kicking. And I will say that the stuff packs are the best they've ever been in The Sims 4. So introducing you to the kits. Kits are now what stuff packs were. So we currently have four kits. And these are either you're going to get some clothing options, some some build by options, or you're gonna have like one new gameplay item. Mm-hmm.
And they are Throwback Fit Kit, Country Kitchen Kit, Bust the Dust, and Courtyard Oasis, which is our most recent kit.
Yep. And then the other new pack type that we got are game packs. And this is a bite-sized chunk, so not quite as big of as an expansion pack, but of just gameplay. But you'll also get new build by and create a sim items. But what you're really supposed to be focused on is the gameplay that you're getting from this. And it's not quite like game changing. And it's also not quite as necessary to the game as an expansion pack. So we currently have 10 game packs so far. Outdoor Retreat, Spa Day, Dine Out, Vampires, Parenthood, Jungle Adventure, Strangerville, Realm of Magic, Star Wars Journey to Batuu, and Dream Home Decorator.
Yep. And then we have stuff packs, which, so kits are brand new, and we had stuff packs, game packs, expansion, right? That would be the level of which you would get more content. Stuff packs are adding so much more than any of the previous iterations where we've talked about stuff packs. So when we were just talking about three, what we were really saying is it is stuff. You already have the essentials in your game to make this thing work. So now we're just adding some more variants of that thing. Whereas stuff packs now have actually added objects that provide new gameplay. So I'm thinking of Perfect Patio was a very good example of an early one, added hot tubs, not new to The Sims franchise, but new to The Sims 4. And if you think about our more recent, well, I mean, the earlier ones now, quite frankly, look like a fucking joke compared to the newer ones.
Oh, yeah. Our most current stuff pack, which is Paranormal, literally adds a new
career.
A new career, and also
lot type.
Like a new situation that you could have in the game.
Yep.
Where your house is haunted. It's like a mini game pack.
Yes. And even Tiny Living, three whole new different kinds of residential lot come in with that. Mm-hmm. You know, very different. So let's run these down. There are 18 stuff packs, so be prepared for this long list. Luxury Party, Perfect Patio, Cool Kitchen, Spooky Stuff, Movie Hangout, Romantic Garden, Kids Room, Backyard, Vintage Glamour, Bowling Night, Fitness, Toddler, Laundry Day, My First Pet, Mosquito, Tiny Living, Nifty Knitting, Paranormal.
Yeah, and then finally with our biggest game-changing pack is the expansion pack. Which again, it adds something that becomes integral to the base game and also game changing, but it's your biggest pack yet. These are typically where we get our new neighborhoods. We're getting lots and lots and lots of new gameplay. And so far we have 11. We have Get to Work, Get Together, City Living, Cats and Dogs, Seasons, Get Famous, Island Living, Discover University, Eco Lifestyle, Snowy Escape, and Cottage Living.
Yep, that's a lot of stuff. And again, like we've said, we'll definitely take the time to explore all of these in great depth with individual episodes or maybe grouping some of them together, because there is an awful lot of packs for four.
Yes. But
in terms of the changes and the jumps, so with each iteration, we've kind of tried to show you the progression of what the game was and where it's going. So with this one, unfortunately, the release of The Sims 4 hot off the hill, off the heels of an absolutely devastating launch of the SimCity.
Yes.
Which just went absolutely awful because of the forced online capabilities and servers that could not keep up with demand. Again, just another way that these kinds of simulation games are diminished in the eyes of game developers. Mm-hmm. The Sims 4, whether they want to admit it or not, was drastically changed from the launch of SimCity. We know this because of code names like The Sims Olympus, and we know that it was meant to be completely online. Yes. And they had to backtrack on that and take what was previously an online game to single player only.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that was really detrimental to The Sims 4 upon release. They did not hold it up for this kind of backtracking that they had to do.
Yeah.
And the game is still suffering for that.
Yes.
And to this day.
Yeah. And we hear it a lot. And I feel like some game developers are super, super open about delays in production. I'm thinking about Nintendo as one that's just really honest, where it's like, we want to hold this pack back. Like, we are delaying release because you deserve better.
Yeah. And speaking of Nintendo, they did that with Animal Crossing.
Yep.
New Horizons. They held that up for a whole year to make it better.
Yeah. And I mean, clearly, based on the reception, I know that there's some, like us, we've invested a lot of hours into Animal Crossing, and perhaps it hasn't held up for like the 200 plus hours that we've all played it. But that's still an incredible amount of gameplay to get out of a game. Like, I really do believe that. And I know that there are valid criticisms of that game, but just holding it up, and when it was released, I know, was also like perfect timing for them. As everyone gets stuck inside, we get to go outside on our little islands, all of that kind of stuff. But it's just a one way of saying, we value you.
Yeah.
You deserve best, the best. And again, an established, well-respected franchise in the gaming industry easily could have just released that and they would have done great numbers, but they didn't.
Yeah, and I think this is something that I really hope EA takes to heart when we do get The Sims 5, because I don't think it's an if, I think it's a when. This game sells too well to quit. Mm-hmm. I really hope they take into consideration that while fans might be upset that you hold it back, give us the best that you can.
Yeah.
Because it will be more rewarding at the end. You will make beyond the sales that you may have projected if you hold it back and you make it better than what you have in front of you at the moment.
Yeah. And that's something with a lot of recent EA games, they have had to dig themselves out of the hole that they've created upon launch. So SimCity, yeah. I haven't played it because it launched so terribly, and I hear that they fixed it and it's a perfectly reasonable game now. It's tainted. The Sims 4 has had to release so much stuff for free to even get the benefit of the doubt. And then you think about things like Battlefront, the Star Wars game, was actually so bad that European courts were wondering whether it was gambling to play that game.
And circling back to what you said about the free stuff we've gotten for The Sims 4, that has never happened before.
Mm-hmm.
We have never been given stuff for free after the launch. I mean, we've had Riverview for The Sims 3, but it was never, we were never given stuff patched in.
The patches now, it is actually to the point where if we're not getting free shit in that patch, it's a bit of a disappointment, because that is the kind of olive branch that they have had to extend. And you're talking about this game coming out in 2014. We're talking about it in 2021 right now. That length of time to provide free content. And we're talking about free content that is huge, like the addition of a whole life stage that they failed to include in the base game, which was toddlers.
Yes.
Swimming pools, ghosts. I could go on truly with what was missing in the base game upon launch. Like, insane.
Yeah, it's really sad, to be honest. As somebody who grew up with this game, and I don't hate The Sims 4. I don't hate it. I'm disappointed in it. It's really hard, especially, like, you guys heard how excited we were talking about The Sims 2 and the changes from The Sims 1. Listen to our voices now. Listen to how disappointed we are with The Sims 4.
Yeah.
We no longer have that excitement we did. And I want to feel excited about The Sims again. I really, really do. This is my favorite game, bar none. Like, full stop, The Sims is my favorite game. And yes. I want what's best for it.
Yes. Absolutely, completely agreed. And this is not to be a bummer. There's just nothing that we can say. This is the huge jump that we made. So, and in terms of that, our biggest jump from 2 to 3, like we had said, was the open world. Well, this takes us back. We go backwards in time. We lose story progression. We are locked to our lots. If we leave them, we have a loading screen. Yes, the neighborhood around you is open, but I'm sorry, there's fuck all to do in the base game ones. There is nothing there that doesn't count. What does improve? Okay, we also lose create a style, but we get the most incredible customization of create a sim that we have ever had. There's where I'm going to get excited. I'm also going to get excited with build and buy, but let's start with Cass, because we don't want to just be bummers here.
No, and Cass is so good that they released it before the game was out.
Yeah.
They gave a little demo of create a sim, and people went wild with it. They were creating you can make the most unique sims you've ever been able to make in The Sims 4. Create a sim is unbelievably detailed.
Yep.
And you are no longer restricted to sliders as you were in 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. Now all it takes is a little push and pull of your mouse. And that's something we're going to see again in Build and Buy 2. Mm-hmm. It's very malleable.
Mm-hmm. It was a learning curve, to be honest.
Same.
When I first got into it, I was like, oh, shit. And I also do believe, and I haven't played 4 on a laptop ever, but I have heard complaints that it's quite difficult to get the real little details with a laptop mouse. Just something to bear in mind and acknowledge that we all play in very different ways for this.
Yeah.
And we have also been very desktop centric in our overview of these games as well. Unfortunately, that's just how we play, you know, is the PC version. But that's just something I have heard, that it's a little bit difficult to do that. But the presets are great. I love having presets, but you don't need them. If you dive in to create a sim, you're pulling at, and this is coming at it from a woman's perspective again, like, I can make my thighs touch and I can have a big old butt and still, you know what I mean? All of these little things that make me up as a person, down to my foot size, which, you know, I've expressed to Melissa countless times. I don't know how I stand upright because my feet are so small. I'm pretty sure it's why I have clumsy down as one of my traits. But that's what we're talking about in terms of customization, my feet size, you know? Still some critiques on that people were really hoping for height sliders and things like that. But overall, really great customization, and has only gotten better in the free patches that we've talked about as well. Incredible amounts of effort gone into correcting and providing a great level of diversity for our skin tones, a great level of customization in terms of your presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Clothes are not locked to gender binaries anymore. I can pee standing up as a female presenting sim. Like, all of these things are now considered base game.
Yes, that was an incredible patch. We were given the option to kind of just remove gender.
Yes.
In a way.
This is what you were talking about with 1 in our previous episode, I feel like. The fact that sims are these fluid beings, like, there is none of that societal expectation on them in any way, right? Like, that's what makes this game kind of beautiful. And to see that finally represented, what feels like, and they're still contributing to this now in the most I don't know, just wonderful way, engaging actual simmers to get it right and all of that kind of thing. Beautiful.
Yeah, and thinking about, you know, laptop users, you may not be able to pick and pull as nicely. And I'm somebody who, I don't love spending a ton of time in Create a Sim. This is where another new feature of the game really, really comes into play, and that's the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the gallery, and it is where anybody who has The Sims 4 can upload rooms, sims, and lots.
Yeah.
And you, it's right in game. You don't have to go online on a browser to get this stuff. You pull it right into game.
You might have, if you played other iterations, what this is in its essence would have been called the exchange. So if you know that from previous iterations, that's what the gallery is now, except for, as Melissa said, it's built into the foundation of the game rather than a separate extra.
Yeah. So you can just pull a sim from the gallery to start with and kind of customize them as you wish, rather than starting with one of the pre-mades or a randomized sim. So it's a little bit easier than starting completely from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I really appreciate, just because, again, I'm an adult woman with a 9-to-5. I don't want to spend 6 hours creating the perfect sim when I want to just get in the game and play.
Right. And that's another
and that's how I play.
Choice. Yes, choice. Mm-hmm. That is how you play. You don't want to labor over creating your sim, but that is how another person plays the game, which is why it's so important to have each aspect of the game progress and get better.
Yes.
So that you have that choice, because yes, so Create a Sim is great for the people that create, and that's what they do. They make sims. That's how they play. Awesome. Another aspect and another category of simmer would be a builder.
Yeah.
And again, this is not your forte. This is another place that you really stress the gallery. You drag, you know, download, place beautiful lots from the Sims community, because that's not where you want to spend your time. It's another way that you get that choice.
Yes, I love the gallery. I could not play The Sims 4 without it. Like, if I'm having internet problems, I can't play The Sims 4. Essentially, because I can't access the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
I love the opportunity to bring other simmers' creations into my game,
mm-hmm,
without having to really search really hard to find it.
Yes.
They do a really great job of curating the best of the best right there on, like, at the front of the gallery.
Yes, they do. And they, you can follow people as well, almost like a social media channel sort of situation. So if you find someone, you love their builds, you can follow them. It will alert you when they upload, all of that kind of stuff, to really make it as easy as possible to find the creations that you want to find, which I think is just honestly wonderful. The ability to like and comment and all of those things, I think, is a really beautiful way of bringing the community together again. And it also ties into my favorite upgrade from 3 to 4, which is build and buy.
Yeah, build and buy, again, with the picking and pulling and the malleability that you have, it is the best it's ever been. Mm-hmm. I'm not a builder. I've never really been a builder. I built a little bit in The Sims 2. I would use, like, actual house plans,
mm-hmm,
and build, but after that, I just kind of stopped. The Sims 3, again, was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. The Sims 4, I find very easy to build.
Yeah. You know what I would say? The one word I would describe The Sims 4 build mode as is forgiving.
Yes.
Because if you fucked up in 3, too bad, bitch.
Time to start over.
Yes, exactly. But in 4, it's like, oh, did you make a mistake? No worries, honey. Do you want to put a foundation in now? Just drag it up. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You made this room,
that room
too
is small? Too
small. Yes. Just
yes.
Help me, and all of the furniture is going to come with me. Like, so forgiving.
You don't have to worry about finding that wallpaper you used. Oh my God, that was such a pain in the ass in The Sims 1. You didn't have that eyedropper tool.
Yeah.
You had to go find it.
The eyedropper tool.
Oh my god. Yeah. I totally forgot about that until now.
Yeah. And this is brand new to the build by a 4 search functionality. When you get into, and what we, if you think about it as well, 11 expansion packs, 10 game packs, 18 stuff packs, and 4 kits, plus any custom content that you have put into your game, imagine sifting through all of the couches, all of the love seats, all of the section, whatever.
All of the toilets.
All of the toilets. Like, I get it's your in-joke, guys, but let's please.
I kind of love it, though.
No.
I hate those
talking toilets. I hate them.
Oh, I hate the talking toilets. They don't work well.
They don't work
well. And that might just be because my Sims are stupid.
They are dumber Sims than the Sims 3.
They are the dumbest they've ever been.
They are. But the ability to search, like, I wish that the search functionality was just, like, a touch more intuitive, mm-hmm. to not be, like, very much based on the keyword search. Like, I wish it wasn't a keyword search, but I wish it was, like, a AI intelligent search that when I search for the word, I don't know, like, plant, you understand that you could also show me trees. That kind, you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yes.
Because there's so many times when I'm trying to search for something and I'm like, shoe rack. And it's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, fuck it. I know you have shoe racks.
Yeah. But you have to know either the exact name of the object or.
Yes. So, yeah. It's very much a key that when I say it has a search functionality, it is a keyword search functionality, but still better than nothing, and something I really hope that they improve on in 5, because that is a definite game changer for me.
Yes, we definitely need to keep the search function in there. That is something I definitely miss when I play other iterations of the game.
Yeah.
And then finally, this is something that they really, really advertised on, especially early on, was your Sims now have emotions.
Oh my god, I just heard someone say boo hiss.
I know. They're not great. They're very, very one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm. Which is crazy. Because if you think about what we talked about in 3, where it was like, you are happy or you are not. And that is the binary. And it is red or you are, like, thrilled. And that was the 2. It's still, I don't know. It still doesn't feel as cartoony. I don't know.
The Sims 4, that is how I would describe it, is cartoony.
Yeah.
It's no longer chaotic. It's cartoon.
Oh my gosh. The chaos is gone. Like,
there's no chaos.
It's so hard to fuck your Sims life up in this. And I think part of it is down to the emotions. Like, oh, your friend just died. I guess you'll get over it if you, like, have a good woohoo session. Like, I.
Mm-hmm. Or, oh, my house is really nice, so I guess I don't feel sad anymore.
Right. Or at the very other end, it's my game is telling me that people that I've never met have died, and now my Sim is sad for 3 days.
That's so annoying. That is, oh my god, I hate that.
Yep.
Or the happy mood is just so overpowering, mm-hmm. that it's hard to feel anything else. Like, if you have to be angry for a job requirement,
mm-hmm.
it is so hard to make your Sim angry for the amount of time that you need to finish all of those tasks.
Yeah.
Unless you use, like, one of the mood potions or.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And I think that I feel like in their intention in creating The Sims 4 in the way they did was, I really do feel like they thought that they were giving us more choice, but in taking away those kind of chaotic energy moments, they made the game, like, pure vanilla, like
very milquetoast.
Yeah. There's no chance that your Sim is going to get fired unless you really work for it. Mm-hmm. The chance cards even tell you you're going to be fired if you pick a certain option.
Yeah.
You know?
And there aren't very many chance cards.
No. You have to have expansions for them to even come into play, I feel like.
Yeah.
Oh, we got on a downer.
Again. Whoops. We could talk about the timeline.
Yeah, let's talk about the timeline. The Sims 4 exists in its own timeline. So with the other ones where we had sort of a natural progression of lore, we kind of tracked the same Sims throughout their lives at different points. We now just have the same Sims with the same names and the same kind of look and style, but they are not the same Sims at all. They openly said they exist in like a parallel universe, which is code for, we thought you didn't care about lore, so fuck you.
Yeah, so as we mentioned in our last episode, in The Sims 2, Bella is missing and Mortimer's an elder. And there's like a mystery you kind of uncover through the gameplay. Mm-hmm. In The Sims 4, Mortimer and Bella are happily married. They have their two children.
And that's it.
That's it. You kind of just play with them as you would any other family.
Mm-hmm.
They include other iconic families. Not every family is in there.
And they change them sometimes needlessly, like how Don Lothario is now with the Caliente sisters' mom and she has a brand new name, because that was another thing that they did, is kind of just kind of edited things for no reason.
Yeah.
And even tracking, like you can see that Bella Goth, for example, her skin is much lighter. A lot of choices that they made that just felt really needlessly insensitive.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And again, there's no like pre-made gameplay there. No. You don't enter a household and you're like, okay, I know exactly what's going on. It's just like any other household.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I'm playing the Goths or the Lotharios or the Pancakes. Yeah. It's all essentially the same. I mean, Eliza and Bob may not have a great marriage, but there's nothing really that tells me that aside from the marketing.
Yes. And that's exactly the same. I feel like it's the BFF household where it's like, oh, they all have crushes on Travis. But if you load into that, they don't.
No, they don't have any crushes. There's no pre-made relationships unless they're just married or like siblings.
So that feels really dry as well. The lure just isn't there. It seems like with cottage living, they really understood the issues that we were having and made a conscientious effort to include lore as a part of the game. But there's just something about it being the 11th expansion pack that makes me not want to sing their praises.
Yeah.
And I feel
there like was some lore in Snowy Escape too. I remember Plumbella did a video on it. I no longer play with the pre-made Sims. So I don't really have any interest in exploring that lore,
mm-hmm.
like I did especially in 2.
Oh, 2 was peak lore.
Yeah, that's where like you really really wanted to engage in the lore, just because there were so many fun like Easter eggs and stuff,
so much opportunity to discover or play it in a different way, and just so much fun there. And it's I feel like The Sims 4, all of the townies are there to be townies. I don't think they really want you to play with the families that they pre-make. I feel like they're meant to be background Sims.
Yeah. The emphasis is really on your own Sims, and mm-hmm. it's really on that young adult life stage, mm-hmm. and seeing what is out there to fulfill that young adult life.
Yeah. And we had talked about it a little bit previously as well, but even in another disappointing way, like teens are just young adults who are just adults. So 3 of the life stages feel very similar. And if you think about 3 of them feeling similar, when all you had was baby, which is an object, grows up into a child when it was first released, then teen, young adult, blurred, and then you have elder, and that was it. Everything that we had sort of established in 3, particularly with the inclusion of generations, just felt like it was thrown out the window a bit. Like they didn't really care about family game players. And I love playing a little family. Like if they have the real gameplay for me there.
Yeah. I do enjoy families in 2 and 3.
Yeah. In 4, there's no point. They're all the same. So...
Mm-hmm.
In terms of jump, best cast, best build and buy mode, the exchange becoming the gallery was an incredible jump. You come back in terms of actual gameplay and the emotion system, and just overall, the worlds aren't as good. all of that kind of stuff kind of is lackluster. So you've got some good steps forward, and then I feel like the actual gameplay, the core reason that Will Wright made The Sims originally, that dollhouse effect, what you actually, when you actually play The Sims, it's lackluster.
Yes, I would agree. It feels like they took 5 steps forward and about 12 steps back.
Yes. Yep.
But not to end on a completely down note, mm-hmm. we're not done with The Sims 4.
Yes.
As of right now, they have not announced that The Sims 4 is over. We don't know what's in the future for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
They may round out its life cycle in an astounding way.
Yeah.
We just don't know yet.
Exactly. Exactly. So TBA on how we feel at the end of this life cycle.
Yeah. And again, not to end on a completely down note, the 4 main games are not the only thing we have. We do have a handful of spinoffs. And I will be upfront, I don't have as much knowledge on the spinoffs as I do the mainstay games.
Mm-hmm.
I've only played a couple of them. But we have The Sims Online, The Sims Stories, The Sims Medieval, The Sims Social, and then countless standalone console and handheld versions.
Yep. And if you have any interest in us covering those, just let us know, because we'd be delighted to research into that more as well, because I've only ever played a couple of those too.
Yeah, I would love to do an episode on The Sims Medieval. It is so much fun. I recently got into that one.
I love it's Sims Medieval, and I like The Sims Stories.
Really great. I've never played The Sims Stories.
They were fun.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, they were
I like
fun.
The Castaway one.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had one for PlayStation. But it was,
yes. It was really good. Yeah. Yeah, they did. Yeah, I had it on PC.
Yeah. So in its 21-year lifespan, The Sims has sold almost 200 million copies, and it is estimated to have surpassed $5 billion in lifetime revenue. And the original Sims accounts for a large percentage of that.
Mm-hmm.
It is the only game of its ilk.
Yes. There is really no competition for The Sims. At the time of recording, we know of a couple that are aiming to provide that kind of competition right now, things like Paralyze and such. And we'll happily cover those when they come out as well, because really, we love The Sims, but we also love the simulation genre.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anything that lets me play as a god and ruin lives,
yep.
I'm for.
God complex shit.
Absolutely.
So as we wind down, thank you for tuning in to our second episode of The History of The Sims. Please look out for our deep dives into each pack coming to wherever you like to listen pretty soon. And please rate, review, and subscribe to Speaking Simlish. You can follow us on Instagram at Speaking Simlish Pod.
On Twitter at Speak Simlish Pod.
Email us at speakingsimlishpod@gmail.com, and like I said, let us know what you want us to cover Sims wise in the future. You got questions for us, anything like that, share what's happening in your game, reach out to us.
Yeah, we're definitely not done with the history of The Sims. There mm-hmm. is so much more that we could say. This is just kind of an overview of the whole thing, a real big picture kind of thing, but we definitely have more in store for
absolutely
the history of The Sims.
Yes.
But until then, we've been speaking Simlish.
And stay simming.